We just have to stop meeting like this. I'm aware that this is quite soon after the last one, but let me just say it's always a privilege and a pleasure, and I do not take it as a given, so I am more than grateful to be asked to share such a wonderful psalm. When was the last time that you ever had a conversation with yourself? I sometimes ask that because sometimes I talk to myself, and often it's because I feel as if I'm the only person that's listening. I was walking through Argent's Mead this week and saw this person walking towards me. I was talking to the Lord, I was in prayer, and he got his head down, and as we got closer he said, "Hello, how are you?" And I said, "Hello, how are you?" And he said, "I'm not talking to you, duh." To which he got his mobile and said, "I'm talking." So it can get you into trouble. I have a lot of duh times. I'm talking about when we're reminding ourselves, and this is what David is doing, he's reminding ourselves to bless the Lord. And you might think, well, that's strange. Why would we need to remind ourselves to bless or to praise the Lord? David wants to bless the Lord from the deepest parts of him, from the bottom of his heart. David wants to give God all that he deserves. It's not only a call to worship, but it's the fuel of worship. Because along with bless the Lord, it's forget not all his benefits. David is igniting his soul so that it is inflamed in white hot worship of the Lord. And it starts with this exhortation: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." David calls his soul to bless the Lord, to magnify the Lord. And he says, don't forget the blessings. And that's the problem. We forget the blessings God has poured upon us. And when we forget the blessings of God, we're in trouble. One of the things that can run from that is that our souls become dry. So can we have the first slide? So never forget, I'm hoping that tonight, Take That might be singing this, because it's one of my favourite of theirs, and I'm not going to do the actions, but never forget. That's the theme of this morning. Never forget. When I read Psalm 103, I wondered, is that how I am with God? At one point, he was so beautiful in my life. I adored him. I worshipped him with everything. But then, life happens. Can you relate to that? Maybe you remember at one point in your life it was easy to praise God, to see him for who he is, but then life happens. You get busy, that 9-to-5 job takes up your time and any other free time that you have. You're attempting to go to groups and constantly serve the church, running around taking kids to school. Maybe it's something bigger than that. And suddenly you are no longer in the awe of the beauty of God or overwhelmed by the wonder that we've been singing about. I could sing of your love forever. Overwhelmed by the wonder of his presence in your life. It's not that one day you decided to stop following God, or you came to the conclusion that he didn't exist, but life knocked you down and you haven't been quite able to get back up again. This, for me, is a very personal psalm, as you'll discover. And I hope it becomes a personal psalm for you too. Why does this happen, and how do we fight against losing the beauty of God that we once so desperately held on to? And so Psalm 103 starts with David having a conversation with himself, telling his soul to bless or praise the Lord, to combat those areas of forgetfulness in our lives. David invites us into a conversation that he is having with himself. In Psalm 34, David writes, "I will bless the Lord at all times." I'm glad that we had no conversation beforehand. I didn't know what Sadie was going to say at the beginning. "I will" literally means "I choose to." I choose to bless the Lord. Not because I feel like it, not because of what I know is true, even when I don't feel like it. It's when you've been praying for that person to come to Jesus. Yes, you can bless the Lord with all of your soul. When I finally was able to see victory in my life from a past struggle, yes, you can choose to bless the Lord with all of your soul. You mean when a member of my family is sick? Yes, you can choose to bless the Lord with all of your soul. When I'm going through dark times? Yes, you can choose to bless the Lord with all of your soul. What about when my life is falling apart, work or family, or even church? Yes, you can choose to bless the Lord with all of your soul. We know God's character and his work from his word, that he is good, even in the moments we can't see it or feel it. We can't feel his hand, we can trust his heart. Our feelings don't have brains. We have brains, I hope, and we have to sometimes tell our feelings how to feel. We don't always feel our way into our beliefs either, but sometimes we need to believe our way into our feelings. God is good even when I don't feel like it. So this is the one thing I want you to take away this morning. Never forget. The next slide, Zaina. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And the next one. So the first thing is to choose to remember God's goodness. David sets the stage for us to do just that by saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." David, in talking to himself, is saying, you need to think back to the goodness of the Lord. Most of you, if I asked, how do you know the goodness of the Lord? You'd look at me with a kind but blank expression. Why can't we think of any answers to this question? It's all good. David helps us out. He lists for us these things that we should never forget. Verse 3, "Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." I like the picture of the eagle, because renew suggest the exchange of our spentness, if you like, our burnt out feelings, our depletion, for his denotion of new strength. Looking at the eagle, I didn't realize that it sometimes sheds its beak. It has to shed a lot of its feathers in order to soar like it does with that 8-foot wingspan. Can you imagine from getting from the ground up into the air? You certainly couldn't do that if you were spent, if you were burnt out. It has to renew its strength. So it is with us that we need, like Isaiah was to say, to wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength like the eagle, so that you can run and not grow weary, you can walk and not grow faint. Many of the things in David's experience are unique to him, being a giant killer or a king, for instance. What he mentions here is universal for all of us. These are some of the thousands of Old Testament promises that are yes in Jesus. And the next one. He forgives. Remember, he forgives. He first mentions the forgiveness of sins. I don't know if you caught that word or not. It's small in length, but so grand in scope. It's that word, all. Not just some of David's iniquities, but all. God knew everything about David, every little detail. David probably wanted to hide, and yet God chose to forgive him. As Pravin told us last week, David committed adultery and murder. And some of you perhaps think, as I once did as an early young Christian, that your sins are past forgiveness. God wouldn't, in his mercy, ever dare to forgive what I've done. But that simply isn't true. Your sin does deserve punishment from God, as does mine. But God, in his love, sent his Son to live a perfect life for you and for me, to take the penalty of our sin that we deserved. It's in our placing of faith in Jesus and his sacrificial death for us that forgiveness is now offered. Through Jesus, the forgiveness of God covers all our iniquities, past, present, and future. So I would encourage you to do what I did. Let sin go. God forgives your sins, every single one of them, because it's against God's nature to remember forgiven sins. He who is perfect love cannot hold grudges. If he does, then he isn't perfect love. I believe God's loving forgetfulness. I believe he has a gracious, terrible memory. Place your sin, your mistakes, your failures before the grace of God. Let him condemn it, let him pardon it, and then it's put away. The next one leads on from the last one. Remember, he heals. David moves to the next blessing, God's healing of diseases. The promise is fulfilled in Jesus and in all who are in him. Yes, we are going to heaven where there is no more sickness or death or pain or crying, and God will wipe away every tear. All sins will be forgiven, all diseases will be healed. But Jesus has forged a way through suffering. He calls us to forge our way through suffering into the full experience of what David is saying here. In this world, God does heal. Not in the way that we think, but God does heal. On a personal note, to link healing with forgiveness, I have a cousin who works at the Hinckley Park School. She's a teaching assistant. Since our youth, she's been anti-God, anti-faith, anti-whatever, and pilloried Sarah and myself, well, and my late mother. Yet we persevered in prayer to the point of this present week when she went through an 8-hour operation to remove a bladder for cancer. She was supposed to be in hospital for 2 weeks. Sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional. She was supposed to be in hospital for 2 weeks, but she came out this week, and one of the first things she did was to ring us and ask us for prayer. That in itself is healing. She said herself that she may not be healed in the way that she thinks she would like it, but she's finding assurance to know that we as a family, and I pray you as a church, pray for her. And she said herself, she's felt God's presence with her. God does heal, but not in the ways that we would like or the ways that we would see. Healing comes from God. So we should look for it and ask for it and thank God when he gives it. But the final promise of no more death and no more disease will come in the future. Even though it feels like healing will never come, we worship a God who took our pain that we could one day be made whole. And I love this quote from the Apostle Paul from Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And the next one, he redeems. This is a theological word, which means he buys you back. He stepped in and claimed you as his own. Think of that moment that Jesus saved you from your own sin and personal afflictions. The pit was calling, but God had other plans. Have you seen the advert for Tesco? I think it's the mobile phones. And a lad is trapped down a well and he can't get out. And a trolley comes to the foot of the well, to the top of the well. He sees the lad down the well. He goes back to Tesco. And the woman comes out and she has this conversation with the trolley. He said, what's that you say that Timmy's lost down the well on Lipton Farm? She gives him the materials to be able to go back to the well, to drop the rope down the well and to lift him out. I think that's a play on Skippy. That used to be my favourite show as a child. It's wonderful how we grow up as such grounded and well-rounded individuals. But I used to love it that Skippy used to go to his owner and what's that you say, Skip? He's trapped down the mine and they go and help him. Beautiful, wonderful show that was. I'm going down memory lane. There's another pit. A person fell into a pit and couldn't get themselves out. A subjective person came along and said, I feel for you down there. An objective person walked and said, it's logical that someone should fall down there. A Pharisee said, only bad people fall into pits. A mathematician calculated how deep the pit was. A legalist said, "You deserve your pit." A news reporter wanted the exclusive story on the pit. A taxman asked if he was paying taxes on his pit. A self-pitying person said, "You haven't seen anything till you've seen my pit." A positive thinker said, "Just confess that you're in a pit." An optimist said, "Things could get worse." A pessimist said, "Things will get worse." But Jesus, seeing the person, went down into the pit, took them by the hand and lifted them out. The evangelist of the last century, D.L. Moody, quoted Paul's words from Philippians 4, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Here is a blank check. On it says, "The firm, my God." The promise shall supply. The amount, all you need. The capital, his riches. The address of the bank, in glory. The signature, Christ Jesus. Then he would add, "This check must be endorsed by the person to whom it is made payable." An example of that was, or could be, President Jackson in the 1820s pardoned a man named Wilson who stole the US, or stole from the US mail, and he was sentenced to death. President Jackson pardoned this Wilson, but Wilson refused to accept it and so stayed on death row. God does supply our spiritual needs as we look to him in prayer and by reading his word. He cleanses us from the defilement of this world as we confess our need. He directs us as we look to him for guidance. He's in control if we will only trust and obey him. Do we accept what God has done for us in Christ? Or do we, like Wilson, refuse the pardon and stay where we are? We need to have the same trust in our God who will never let us down. David made some dreadful mistakes that had bitter consequences. But God didn't abandon him. And it was God's gracious dealings with him that caused him to bless and praise God who provides, and not to forget all his benefits. The next one, Zaina. This is a picture from yesterday. What an emotional day that was. To see the picture of a king being an earthly king being crowned. But our God crowns us with love and mercy. When we didn't deserve royalty, he treated us like royalty. This picture of being crowned is amazing. As we look to the bread and the wine, when you see a king or queen being honoured, it's a royal celebration of honour and esteem. And God lays that love and mercy on us because of Jesus. Have you seen the mercy, his mercy, in how he saw fit to bless us with so many blessings and continues to do so? Next one, Zaina. He satisfies. Finally, David mentions God satisfying his people with good, so much so that they have this renewed energy that gives you freedom like that of an eagle. These are the benefits that caused David to worship. And if we are found in Jesus, so should it be with us. What do you need? What do I need to remember today? Maybe your sin runs so deep that you didn't think God can forgive it. John says in 1 John verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And the Apostle Paul, writing in Ephesians, says that we have redemption, not because we deserved it, but because God gave it to us through the blood of Jesus. Maybe we need to remember that Jesus said that if you drink of the water that I give you, it will satisfy you so that you will never thirst again. All these benefits are yes in Jesus. He has made it possible for all who put their trust in him to be forgiven, to be healed, to be redeemed, to be completely loved, to experience new mercies every day, to find satisfaction in him and only in him, because nothing else that we put our trust in can do this. So I have a question. What would our worship look like if we spent more time choosing to remember the goodness of the Lord in our lives? I love Psalms because in them you will see Psalms of praise and adoration toward God, Psalms of thanksgiving for things God has done. In the Psalms you will find ones that deal with pain, suffering, repentance, and desperately crying to God for forgiveness. However, in this psalm, you see all of those things culminate in these first five verses. David asks for many of those things in other psalms, but in this one, see the next one? David is not asking God for anything in this psalm. He is praising God because he has already experienced God's benefits. Never forget. When it comes to the benefits of the Lord, you don't have to ask for them. But if you are in Jesus, you already experience them. And because we've experienced them, it should empower us to ask for even greater things. Jesus promised his disciples that when he left them, greater things shall you do than I ever did, because I go to the Father. Never forget. I love the word benefit. We're familiar with it in our society and our culture around the world of work and other things, etc. Rest in the fact that God wants to give you these benefits because of what Jesus has done for you. And not only do we choose to remember God's goodness by looking at all his benefits in the present, but we see it by never forgetting all he has done in the past. Just another 5 minutes on verses 6 onwards. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Where does David look to find out what God's character is like? He opens the scripture. Verse 8 is a direct quote of Exodus 32, where God reveals his character to Moses. What I love about that section of Exodus leading up to what David is referencing in Exodus 34 is a prayer that Moses prays. He prays for a greater revelation for himself. and the people of Israel to see the ways of the Lord that never change. We don't need to see something new. What we need to see is that we were dead in sin, and God in his grace saw fit not to leave you there. He knew that you could not save yourself. And because he desired for you to know him, he sent Jesus to die for you, so that his righteousness becomes your righteousness. I'll quote the Apostle Paul. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. His mercy, his love, his forgiveness. Moses doesn't pray for God to do anything, but for Israel to see what he has done and is doing. And I believe that's a prayer for us in our day and in our time. Lord, we want to see what you have done and what you are doing. And God does it, and he proclaims of himself in Exodus 34. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Why would David bring the attention here? Because David, again, is pointing to the faithfulness and goodness of God who worked in the nation of Israel all those years past. If God was faithful then David is showing that he will be good even now. Past grace is evidence of future grace. God has been good. He is good. He always will be good. And that means he is good in your life right now. I really have reached towards the end. The God who raised Jesus from the dead is just as powerful and just as good right now. David quotes God's promise to Moses, which has been true now for hundreds of years. He says that God's love for them was unchanging and unconditional. He will not always chide, verse 9. Nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Talk about benefits. This is a benefit of the gospel of Jesus. That because Jesus lived a life that we could not live and died a death that we all deserve to die because of our sin, we get an opportunity to place our faith in Jesus, and so now there is no longer any anger towards us. All the wrath of God was poured out on his Son, and now what is left for us is grace and forgiveness. As high as the heavens are from the earth. Can you fathom it? Just as I ask you to picture being crowned with love and mercy. Can you fathom it? That's how much he loves us because of Jesus. How far is the east from the west? this is amazing grace. Grace is not amazing when we think we are already perfect. God was showing himself to be God to his people, and David said, this is what we need to remember about our God, because we are so quick to forget. Where have we forgotten the goodness of the Lord in our lives? I ask a question that I ask myself in the week, preparing. Maybe you're in the darkest season that you have ever been in. You feel abandoned. You feel forgotten. You feel left out. You're afraid of what tomorrow will bring, because today sometimes feels like hell on earth. Let me be honest with you. Your circumstances may not change. Going back to the pessimist, tomorrow may be harder than today. But in the midst of that, maybe you need to pause and be reminded of his faithfulness towards you through Jesus. Reflect on how little you deserve grace, but he gave it to you anyway. You see, faith is not simply believing in God. This is something I want you to take away as well. Faith is not simply believing in God. It is believing God. Taking God at his word and living in obedience no matter what the cost, because you know that he will always do what he says. He will always do what he says, because his saying is his doing. Let's pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Father, let us not forget what you have done for us. If we had 10,000 reasons, we would still not be able to mention all of your benefits towards us in Jesus. Help us to remember through the power of Holy Spirit, to choose to remember you in all of your goodness towards us, that Holy Spirit will empower us to worship you and bless your name forever. In Jesus' name, amen.